Radio Network. Subscribe to us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Just search for Mind Cemetery. You can now find us on iTunes by searching UFO Paranormal Radio Network and by clicking the iTunes icon on the player widget on our homepage, and you can find us at mindcemetery.com. On the site, you will find the upcoming show calendar where you can browse our schedule of guests, check out the Mind Cemetery Strange News feed, peruse our extensive archive of past shows and our archive blogs, track the activity of Nicole's favorite alien stalker, and as always, check out the critically acclaimed MindCemetery.com blog, where you can get information on upcoming shows, information on past shows, and plenty of interesting nuggets and tidbits. MindCemetery.com blog, where you can get information on upcoming shows, information on past shows, and plenty of interesting nuggets and tidbits that are blogged about throughout the week. The phone lines are open for anyone interested in calling in and joining our discussion tonight. Our number is 1-504-273-7379. Hello, yes, we are live again tonight. We have the opportunity to be live tonight. How nice, right? First off, I want to say that the phone lines are open tonight. So if you have a story of your own about any paranormal experiences or UFO sightings or abductions or anything in that vein, go ahead and give us a call here. I'll get that phone number to you. There it is. It is 1-504-273-7379. I want to see how many of the listeners out there have actually experienced something. And Joe will put you through uncensored and live, so you'll just, no filtering you, okay? It's not what we do here. I'm just going to let it come out. Yeah, that's how you spell it, Joe. Yeah, so, and we're in the chat room in Pal Talk. It's the UFO Paranormal Radio Network here. You get to listen to the show, interact with other fans, other listeners, other people in the chat room that are here on a constant basis, listening to all the shows here on the network, not just mine. And we have a new show that joined us too, from what I understand. Let's see if I can find their banner here. It is The Galactic Connection. With Erica Godish. She is on. Let's see when she's on. I haven't even heard her show yet. But, here we go. Schedule. Let's see. I had heard her interviewed before by Joe. So, oh, it looks like Fridays. Her first show she had Scott Roberts on. Big fan of Scott Roberts, by the way. Love it. Love hearing him talk. He's always a good time. Let's see. He's on 8. Wait, let's go Eastern. 11 p.m. Eastern, it looks like. So she's on after Trey Sheridan on Global Focus, I believe. So you can go out there and check that out. Oh, every second and last Friday of the month. So yeah. Oh, no. She's on 8 to 10. And Therese is on from 10 to midnight. So check out both those shows on Friday night. They're both pretty good. And then, of course, Second Sight NYC. There's Dawn of Shades. There's UFO on the Flagship, the Mothership, hosted by none other than the man, the myth, the legend, the founding father of the network, Joe Montaldo. And Saturday nights, you get a big dose of The Church of Mavis with Jeffrey Pritchett, which I will be co-hosting with him on October 6th. October 6th, he asked me to join him there. I'll figure out who the guest is here in a minute. He asked me, and I just said, yes, I'll do it. Whatever. I gotcha. So that's okay. So that's exactly what's going on lately here. As for my show, and Nicole's sleeping tonight, so it's just me. Our guest, Bob Curran, is having trouble, let's just say, health-wise. Crazy. It's actually crazy, and he's doing a whole lot of work on top of it with TV and all that kind of stuff. So he's got a pretty full plate on top of trying to fight off some illness here. Nothing life-threatening, but definitely putting a cramp in his style, let's put it that way. So he's hopping from time zones, he's traveling around the world and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, we bumped him again, so he's not going to be here tonight. I can't remember off the top of my head, and I'm looking on the show calendar when exactly I rescheduled him to. But I can tell you right now what we have coming up here in October. So October, in the month of October, we've got Eric Singleton and Sean Litton. Those two are the guys that spoke at the CHAPS meetup last month and talked about provocation in paranormal investigations, and they host their own show called Paranormal Revolution that's on Tuesday nights. It's a TV show setup thing. It's on Ustream, I believe. I'm not sure. I can't remember. I watched it for the first time last week, but they're pretty good, actually. You know, they've done this for a lot longer than me, and they're actually right in my backyard here in Raleigh. So I was under the impression that I was the only game in Raleigh, but I'm still rolling with the most popular in Raleigh. Let's do that, because they just started their show. Again, they used to do a little radio show and all that, and all that good stuff, just like everybody else. And but they're cranking on the TV end of it now. So they get, you know, little cameras and stuff like that going on, and get to video everything of themselves while they're talking and have their guests on and all that good stuff. But they pretty much are not a fan of a lot of BS in the paranormal field, so I think they're not skeptics, but they're definitely jaded, let's put it that way, against a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of nonsense out there that it needs to be exposed for what it is, and I don't blame them for doing that at all. And I think it's actually very necessary, because I'm seeing shows that I used to listen to all the time, and I'm seeing where they're going, and it's going right down the path of Entertainment City, and it's going down the path of let's just retweet and resend out messages, stories on Facebook, and just it's an overload, you know. And that's something, if you go to Facebook and you like Mind Cemetery, I'm not going to beat you over the head with a bunch of stupid BS, you know, and stories of this stick looks like Loch Ness Monster, or I found a hairball on the ground and I think it's from Bigfoot. So, you know, it's not going to be anything retarded like that. It's just real simple, you know. All I do is tell you what's coming up on the show. And that's it. And I don't really put up a lot of BS on there. So if you're worried about nonsense stories coming up in your feed, and definitely nothing political, that's beating everybody over the head. But that happens every couple years. But so jump on Facebook and like the Mind Cemetery's show page. You'll get info on upcoming shows and everything like that. Like, in October, we've got Eric Singleton and Sean Litton, the hosts of Paranormal Revolution. And it will be on tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. Just look online and on Facebook. You'll be able to find their stuff. Then on the 15th, we'll have the wrap-up show and news, as usual. 22nd, I got wide open, but I got some people I'm looking to book, of course. But on the 29th of October, 2 days before Halloween, I was able to get Phil Coppins, and if you know who he is, you see him a lot on Ancient Aliens on TV. He does a lot of, he's actually written a ton of books. You know, he's got his own website there, philcoppins.com, and you can check him out. And he'll be on to talk about his latest book that is coming out, and I'm going to be getting a copy of it to read and talk about on the show. So, yeah, we got Phil Coppens coming on the 29th, which is awesome. We're finally cranking it up here at the end of the year and cranking up with some really quality guests out there with some good stuff, and you definitely have heard of them. So that's October, and I still got 2 slots open in October. So, you know, check the website, mindcemetery.com. Check the show calendars. It's show calendar and guests. It's right up there at the top of the page, right under Mind Cemetery, and you can see who's actually coming on. So then, in November, I've got 2 people booked. One, an absolute rock star in the field, and a psychic that considers herself a skeptical psychic, Nancy DeTero. And that'll be the first time I've had a psychic on in a real long time, actually probably this year, you know. So I'd seen her book that's out there, and she's got a website, theskepticalpsychic.com. Sounds interesting, plus it should entertain Nicole with her being, you know, somewhat skeptical and still being, you know, intuitive. Definitely have something to talk about there, that's for sure. Keep her interested, at least, you know. So, say hello to everybody in the chat room that joined us tonight. And like I said, I have the phone lines open. And that phone number is 1-504-273-7379. And here's the deal. Warm up your phones. Call up and give me your paranormal UFO alien abduction. Or if you have any theories on any conspiracies that are running out there. I know there's a real big one with that, the film, the anti-Muslim film that sparked all the riots. That's a juicy one out here right now. I actually saw something in my feed that blamed Romney for it. Interesting. But the same guy that says that says a lot of other wacky stuff. So, you know, we can't exactly hold that to being 100% true or at all. So, you know, it's not one of those things where I saw it online, so it must be true, or I saw it on Facebook, so it must be true. So, you know, you're going to get bombarded with the nonsense, that's for sure. But that's just one thing that looked interesting as hell lately. There's also the part where your government is buying like a billion bullets. Why? Or here's another good one. Why are Russians training in Minnesota? You know, so, there's always plenty of TSA stuff out there that you can talk about. But the point is, there's things going on out there that no one has a feasible explanation as to why. You know, if YouTube was so concerned with public safety, why didn't they take that anti-Islamic film down, knowing that it was going to do all this damage, number one. Number two, like I said last week, was it? Has anybody seen this film? I'm going to go with it doesn't even stinking exist. I've never seen even a still frame of it. For something that's so nasty, you think you'd at least get, I don't know, a still frame of the credits? We can do that, right? I'm not saying put a still frame of your image of, what's his name? Muhammad? Yeah, I know that's a big no-no. You can't show images of Muhammad or it'll, you know, turn him to riot, but, you know, what won't turn him to riot, right? Anything for an excuse to get him cranked up, I guess. But yeah. If you have any kind of ideas out there about conspiracy theories, give it a call. I haven't had a whole lot of those on. One of the greatest names that I'm looking to pull from here on out is Jim Mars, to get him on. You know, he's absolutely outstanding to have on and to listen to. He's a big JFK conspiracy guy, too. So, but a goodie, and it's a classic, you know, let's face it. So that phone number is 1-504-273-7379, and I know that was fast, but I'm going to keep pumping it, and I want to hear from you out there in listener land, we'll call it, and see what you have to say about that, especially today. You know, since I don't have a guest and I'm flying solo, so, you know, throw me a bone here. Give me some help. And we're actually able to do it tonight. So, you know, we don't have a hamster on a wheel keeping the whole damn thing together. It's the real, real thing. Oh yeah, I loved I love Jim Ars. I always have. You know, he did. He actually got me really cranked up on Richard C. Hoagland. You know, he's the one that really like kicked it into the stratosphere of my despising of him. So I can't wait to get him on to ask him about that. You know, and about that interview and tell him that I actually confronted him about things he said and he just did straight up denied it and everything. You know, he kind of in turn hosts a show called Epic Voyagers, and it kind of has a rotating host format. It's really, it's interesting. It's hit or miss, as, you know, I guess we all are. We can't all be 100% all the time, you know. So you got to do some things. I tell you what interview I liked lately was the one he did with Ochani Lele about Santeria. That was a good one. Getting rid of a lot of myths there and a lot of misconceptions that are just basically racist, you know. The guest in November, that's the big rock star we got coming on, is Nick Redfern. He'll be coming on in November on the 5th, and I think Second Sight has him coming on this week. And Nick it dabbles in, like, everything. Crypto, UFO, ghost, Mothman, you know, just crazy. And conspiracies, big time into conspiracies. He's going to be talking about the weirdest places, you know, in the world, 2012. We'll be talking about his latest book, of course, but this guy's got a ton of work out there that he's put out there, and I've never even seen him, you know, that's one guy that I haven't ever seen or heard anyone else bash and say he's full of crap or he lied about something or he's just here to sensationalize stuff and all that kind of garbage. You know, you don't hear that, you know, and that's really rare, and that's why I'm putting this guy above most others, you know. So, you know, I got two really good people coming on here, and that book for October and November. So, you know, we're finally getting back on the horse and everything. I was waiting to get my computer fixed and the motherboard fixed and all that kind of nonsense on my all that nonsense on my desktop, and of course, it didn't happen that way. Because Nicole didn't do it, basically. So, yeah. So I was waiting for that. So I'm just working off a laptop now and doing all that kind of stuff. Plus, you know, there's a ton of other junk going on in the personal life, of course. And, you know, it always cranks up out of nowhere, that's for sure. So, so we try to juggle it all, you know. So, if you call in tonight, we'll get you through and we'll talk, and Joe will put you through, and it'll be a good, it will get you through, and we'll have, you know, a good little conversation with you for a while. Don't be shy. It's just me and a couple hundred thousand other people listening, right? At least that's the way I always try to treat it really listening, you know, in the end. And that way you get a whole lot better conversation, and it's a lot less, frightening. I think the last time I was nervous was when I called in Coast to Coast to jump on Richard C. Hoagland when he was on last time. And then, you know, I mean, there's what, 5 million listeners? Yeah, that's nervous, you know, it's, you know, that's definitely the nervous point when you do that. So, people asking in the chat room what that number is again, so we'll shoot that back out there. 1-504-273-7379. That's 504-273-7379. Go get a pencil and a paper and keep it handy, because I'll shoot it back out again. And that's what we'll do with that, to keep it rolling. And so, without further ado, I guess I'll just go ahead and get started into what's going on, actually, with the show and paranormal news and everything. So, Bob Curran couldn't make it today. You know, he's sick. And, you know, we hope he gets well. And he, you know, is still looking to come on. I rescheduled him and gave him an email. And I'm trying to find that email now to figure out what actual day I actually scheduled him for. And I can't find it. That's part of the problem, too. Is that I keep rescheduling people like a moron. And can't remember. Oh. okay. No, okay. Yeah, let's see when it was. I think I pushed him way out there to give him time. So he'd be okay. And I think, okay, so it looks like we have a caller in the queue here. So, hello, caller, are you here?
Yes, I'm here. How are you doing, Chip?
I almost sound a lot like me, actually.
Yeah, this is Raven from the room. How are you doing?
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Chip, I was just wanted to share with you. You were talking about earlier, I had something paranormal happen to me a few months ago. If you care to hear it, I'll be happy to share it with you.
Sure, go ahead.
A friend of mine had called me up, and she was having technical issues with her notebook and connecting to the Internet. So I went over there and troubleshot the issue and fixed it for her. And afterwards, I was sitting in her den, and she was telling me all about how some certain things were happening there. And now, mind you, the front door is in the den area,
okay,
to the house, and it was closed, perfectly closed, and she's sitting in on the sofa, and I was sitting in the chair on the opposite side of the room, and the door just opened, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at her, and she's looking at me, and she goes, oh, don't worry about it. She says, it's probably one of my entities around in the home.
Okay.
So I said,
you're talking the front door of the house.
Yeah, the front door of the house, and this occurred mainly like around 4 or 5 p.m. in the afternoon.
Okay.
And I got up and I just kind of walked to the door, and I'm looking at the door. You know, jiggling the doorknob, and I was like, hey, okay. Closed the door, turned around, went back to the seat I was sitting in, sat there, and we began to talk again. And the door slowly opened up again. After I had made sure it was closed.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and she says, I don't think the spirits like you. I said, well, that's too bad. yeah, so basically that was it. And then another time, too, I was at another person's house, and I have a webcam, and well, not a webcam, a handy cam.
Yeah.
And you can also use that device to sort of take pictures and download it real quick to people's PCs for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shooting this individual by archery, and in the viewfinder there was this vertical blue line that disappeared out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I took pictures of that, and you know, there was, you know, apparitions around and orbs and things, and it was pretty interesting event.
I believe, like, a lot of people want to just pawn off orbs as dust.
Right, yes, yes. Yeah, that was the other thing I checked my equipment for.
Yeah.
You know, and it was not dusty. I had just cleaned it. There was no dust on it. And
the room was clean and...
Yeah,
Yeah. See, that's something that happened when we went to on an investigation up in Creedmoor, North Carolina, just north of us here in Raleigh, maybe 15 minutes. We're sitting in the living room of a house, and this one girl was taking pictures, and we're all sitting in there, and this house is immaculate. You know, it's just clean. And boom, there were orbs there, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, every time I've seen a picture of orbs, there's somebody sitting there saying, oh, it's dust, or it's something on the lens, or anything like that. And I'm like, this wasn't it. And I'd go along with it too, especially if I saw pictures online. You know, you can't really trust a whole lot of jack that you see posted online, because anything can happen with it, and it doesn't really take a real genius anymore to manipulate a photograph, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But seeing it, being like right next to her as she's taking the pictures, and being in the room and knowing the conditions and everything like that, I was like, wow, this, explain that, you know? I was like, you can't tell me that that was dust or bugs or anything like that, because there
That's
were,
right.
you know, pictures before that were clear, then boom, this one,
right.
a couple of thirds with the orbs, and then nothing. And I was like, okay, you know, that's something right there, whether anybody wants to believe it or not. So it is hard for people at home listening probably to believe in the whole orb thing, because you hear the dust excuse all the time, and then you see it, you know, and it actually comes through, and you see photos and pictures of dust and bug kind of stuff, and you say, okay, well, that explains that phenomena. Well, it doesn't, because, you know, I was in there when it happened, you know, and this house is active as hell, you know, it's crazy.
Right.
But with the front door that you had, was, like, did you hear the doorknob turn and unlatch and stuff like that?
Yes, you know, you actually saw the doorknob turn.
Oh, wow.
And the door just opened up as if it was being, and it didn't open up, like, by a gust of wind, because that was the other thing I checked, because sometimes, like, with a door frame, a door jamb, you know, if it's an older structure, they could become warped.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even if you close it, like, if a strong gust of wind comes, it can blow the door open.
Yep.
But the way the door was opened in a fashion as if someone had their hand on the doorknob, and they just slowly opened the door.
Wow.
And it was controlled. Now, I've been kind of like your significant other, Nicole, your wife.
Yep.
I've always kind of said, okay. But this event sort of put me in the realm of saying, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with this door, and the door jam's correct, and the latch is working correctly, because after the third time, you know, I got up, and when I closed the door, I slammed it, and she looked at me like, you know, I was losing my head a little bit, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
I apologize. I was just testing the door and make sure there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
She goes, there's nothing wrong with the door. The other thing was she was quite calm about the whole situation, and I was like a little shaken, you know. I was like, you know, I'm not used to being in someone's home and having the front door open, being asked to leave, you know.
Exactly. And that's something crazy that you point out about being calm when it comes to paranormal stuff, because I'm the same way in that. If it comes to, like, any kind of investigation and there's things going on in the house, like, you know, flashlights being turned on and off. Like, we had, in the same house, we had set up a flashlight in the room, right? One where you turn it, you click it once, it turns like, I can't remember how it went. You click it once, it'll turn on, like, the base will glow red, right? Hit it twice real quick, and the base will, like, start flashing. And then hit it three times, and it'll be a solid light, you know? And this thing was in the middle of the room, and it was... Oh, no. The first one is a solid, bright, white light, and then it'll go to the base turning red, and the light will be on, and then the third will be base will blink red, you know? It's like a survival-type flashlight thing. And so we had it on in the middle of the room, sitting on the floor in this bathroom that was converted from an old, like, maid quarters, is what it used to be,
right?
And so we're in there, and it was on the white light mode, it was on, right? So basically, if anything touched it, it would have had to cycle to the other modes. And this time it cycled straight to off. And it wasn't, like, loosened, you know, so you can jiggle it and all that kind of stuff with the batteries and turn it off. No, it's like one of the, it was like a a mag light, push button light, you know, it's one of those kind of things, you know, the rubber gasket thing. So, so yeah, this one, it completely changed off. It was weird because at the same time, me and another person, after it happened, we were talking about it, I was like, was anybody thinking about how annoying that flashlight was in their face? And this other girl was like, yeah. She's like, I was. And then I was like, yeah, right about the time when it shut off. And she's like, yep. And I was like, damn, that's crazy. You know, so stuff like that. And then there was a paperweight in the house that was probably the size of a mouse, you know, a keyboard mouse, you know, for a computer. Right. But it was like a pewter turtle type thing. So it wasn't going to just move in the wind, you know. It, right. We heard it move, like, on the table, right? And we were in the dark, of course, so we didn't really know, and it wasn't 100% pitch black, but I knew the noise came from the desk, so we're sitting over there just testing a bunch of things. What's this sound like moving? What's this sound like, you know, going back and forth? And boom, we found what it was, and it was even on the EVP recording of it, you know, moving in there. And Nicole was in the room for that one, and she still straight up denies that even happened. She's like, oh, that could have been the wind or some shit. I'm like, would you shut the hell up, you know? I was like, this thing, I was like, you can't blow on this thing, but, you know, come on. And so that was like...
Well, that's the same way I had with the door. It defied my logic because I personally inspected the door.
Yeah.
You know, and the door was perfectly fine. There was nothing wrong with it.
And that's the best part about being there for those kind of things, is that you can actually do the things that you would do to see what the hell's going on, you know? And it's not like you were watching it on TV and say, okay, well, that could have been edited or something, you know? And that's...
Well, yeah, like a little motor or something there, or a trick door. You know, this was a plain entrance way to a home. I mean, there was nothing fancy about it. I mean, it was just there. And it was, the hinges worked fine on it. There was nothing attached to it or anything like that. But yet, on three different occasions, within a short span of time, that door opened all by itself. And I said to myself, well, okay. You know, I sort of always believed in, we being a tripart entity, having mind, body, and spirit, you know, and it's like, I finally got to experience, you know, maybe the other side a little bit, have them sort of introduce themselves to me. I wasn't afraid after that, you know. I had a lot of other things happen to me. I've talked to a gentleman out in California, too, who claimed to be a shaman, and he was telling me all kinds of things about me just from the sound of my voice, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't know about all that, but... anyway, I'm slowly, you know, my skepticism is subsiding because, I look at the evidence and my experience of the situation, and, I'm a pretty open-minded individual, so,
it's the best way to be about the whole thing, you know, because no one knows for sure, and it's like I had a rant a couple weeks ago about science. You know, and this love affair with wanting to go about things scientifically and quantify unexplainable phenomena with explainable methods in science. And it's like, you know, how many times have you heard the same EVP response from asking a question over and over and over and getting a response like a parrot or something? You don't. You know? Mm-hmm. So there blows away that whole scientific method of testing and repeating things, you know? But yet, for some reason, investigators just want to keep slamming that round peg in the, you know, that square peg in the round hole saying, it's got to work. This is how we prove it. This is how we get recognized and justify our work. And it's like, don't do it. You know? So just stop. You're never going to, you're always going to be looked at as a fringe idiot, wasting your time by someone in a lab coat worried about tenure, you know?
Right, right.
So just give up. Quit trying to make some pinhead happy that couldn't give a damn less about what you're doing. You know, that's why there's no parapsychology courses anymore, anywhere. No professors, no scientists have the balls to teach it, first of all.
But you can't, because it's not quantifiable. Like you said, you know, like you were alluding to before, you know, the nature of science is to conduct experiments mm-hmm. to where you could get the same results repeatedly and then have it measured. And it doesn't work that way with the spiritual realm. It doesn't work that way.
Not at all. Not even close. And it's just, you know, this desperate need for validation, you know, and it's
right.
And I understand it only from the standpoint of, well, you at least have to start somewhere, you know, and that's it. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I can really justify in even attempting that kind of thing is that, well, I got to start somewhere, and that's fine. You can start there, but you better figure out real quick that banging my head against this wall hurts. Okay.
Yeah, and it feels so good when you stop.
Yeah, and eventually, you know, and no one's going to sit and care, you know, even if you can repeat it once or twice. You know, you're still going to get a big fat, I don't care, you know.
Right.
It's like in that house up in Creedmoor, you know, we get knocks on the walls and knocks on the floor where you're sitting, and you'll get some, you know, you get an EVP here and there every once in a while. But I'm telling you, we're firing out questions like crazy at this house and getting nothing, you know. And the only time we got something... Like, the only time I really got scared in that joint was when a guy actually had his head pushed back against this door jamb. Like, we were sitting on the floor and just slammed against the wall. Man, it was hard, too, and it made me jump. And what's messed up is that...
Yeah.
I got scared then. That was the first time I've been scared because of paranormal something, you know, investigations and anything like that. Actually, ever, you know. And, I got that... That, you know, sheer terror and fear for about, you know, 5 seconds after it got slammed against the wall, and I was like, whoa. And leading up to it, I can tell that our questions were asking for it. You know, when we talk about provocation, it just doesn't have to always be, you know, outright being belligerent to an entity or a spirit or anything like that, you know, whatever people want to call it.
Right.
It was so passive, too, because one of the people in the room was like, oh, it's okay if you touch me, or you can touch us to let us know you're here, and that's all it took, you know.
Wow.
And boom, you know, I was like, wait a minute, you know. So I'm snapping pictures like crazy, got nothing off pictures, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But before he got his head slammed against the wall, in that bedroom behind the wall, there was a big hit, like, right above the bed in the wall. There was a knock there, and then that's what got everybody excited to say, oh, you can touch me, and went after the head of the whole organization there who'd been there a ton of times. So, yeah, and then, you know, I'd ask him, I was like, so how did it feel, you know, did it feel like something grabbed you in the front and pushed you back? Did it feel like something pulled you from behind? Did it feel like, you know, somebody kind of move your head forward and then back, you know, to slam you back? And he's like, no, it was just a straight pull back. You know, I was like, wow, that's crazy. So that's like, and that, like, sparked that I had Thomas Fusco on talking about, he was on with Treese and us and Second Sight NYC. I don't know if you ever heard any of his interviews, but Thomas Fusco had some great ideas about how paranormal and aliens interact in our environment, in our dimension, basically. And mm-hmm. when George said it pulled him back, right,
mm-hmm.
Thomas talked about how basically these entities, it's hard to explain, actually, because it just is hard to explain because I'm trying to remember. It kind of like they move, it's like a vacuum feel to it. It's not
right.
It's not a wind pushing, it's a pull.
Right.
Okay? It's not like something was over there generating it going one way, going right. It was right pulling it towards itself. You know, and
exactly.
That was
right, right.
And that's like this, and that's where these things come into play in the spaces between the space. They're filling voids. Okay?
Right.
And creating right. them. And creating vacuums, basically, and creating areas where they can exist and popping in and out. And I was like, whoa, you know, and it's much more complex than that. Of course, I'm simplifying it, and I'm sure I'm probably getting it wrong, but when I heard that general idea of how they're moving in and out of our dimension, basically, I was like, that's absolutely awesome right there. And it's when you find people like Thomas P. Fusco out there, and I think he might have been in our Blog Talk Radio days, actually, when we had him on. I'm not positive. But if you can check archives on, you know, UFO Paranormal Radio Network, you'll get him on there. And I got that nugget out of him, and I've actually got his book upstairs, but of course it's difficult to read, you know.
You have to take your time with that.
Yeah, it's a, you know, what's a science, and I'm bad at science, and, you know, so, so yeah, that was really a great guest to have on with an awesome original thought, you know, that isn't getting a lot of attention. You know why? Because he's not out there cheerleading himself out there. He does a lot of his own publicity, you know. He's not one of these rock star types, you know, in the field. You know what I'm talking about. You know, he's not a shill. You know, one of the people that I'm really disappointed with lately is Nick Pope. You know, I've railed against that turd a little while after his garbage about the Olympics that he was spitting out before that. And then, you know, there's just guys out there that some, for whatever reason, and I know the reason, they still get attention and they still get invited to speak, and it's just because they put asses in seats and sell tickets, basically. You know, but they never have anything good to say, you know. Nick Pope's the dude that comes out and tells you, well, when I worked at the MOD, I did my damnedest to always mention Little Green Men and discredit all these people left and right. You know?
Right.
And then go and just say, well, it was just my job. I was just following orders. You know, yeah, well, there were people that were following orders, too. They were called Nazis, you know? So, Nick, when were you going to finally say, oh, I'm sorry, when you didn't have any more bags, you know, tricks in your bag anymore, when you didn't have anything else to talk about? You know, and then at the same time sit there and say, oh, I'm not a ufologist. Go to hell. You're not a ufologist. All you effing did, you know? I mean, I'm trying not to cuss as much as possible now on the show.
Yeah, degraded room.
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to keep it that way and bleep too much down at the mothership in New Orleans there. But, yeah, when you have individuals like him come out and then pretty much say that he was a part of the problem, you know, when he was working for the government, and then say, oh, I'm sorry, and then, oh, by the way, there might be some alien intervention during the Olympics, and then say, well, I didn't say that, I was just hinting at it. Go get out of here. You know, I'm just so tired of it.
Well, you know, you were talking about Joe earlier, I just mentioned him. You know, I met Joe at a conference in Bordentown, New Jersey. I'm in New Jersey, by the way, Chip.
Okay.
I met Joe at a conference, and it sort of got me hooked. I was there as a protective escort for someone.
Oh.
And I sort of was providing security for someone at the time. And I was just bystander to the whole situation, and I sort of got enticed by the topic, you know, and it never really crossed my mind. And the more I looked into it, you know, Joe was doing, and then I researched Joe and how he established his iCar thing. And, you know, I thought it was really good stuff that he, was dedicating a forum for people who have had that experience, you know, because these people definitely had real experiences and, you know, that trying to provide them a coping mechanism to deal with their regular everyday lives, I think, is a very admirable thing. And, you know, I'm a student of it. I'm just a newbie, you know, so I'm still doing my homework, but kind of hooked. You know, and then, you know, I'm meeting people from the paranormal community, and I had a paranormal experience of that door opening, and you know, it's like there's a whole new world opening there for me, but it's all been good stuff. You know, it's a widening experience of you know, the world that we live in. You know,
that's crazy that you actually did security for somebody there, and it's not so much crazy that someone would need security, because there's a lot of sociopaths, you know, for lack of a better word for them, that want to be important.
Right.
And then there's a lot of crazy fans, too, that, you know, the problem with a lot of what Joe talks about and basically all the other shows, that when we talk about this stuff, then all of a sudden, you know, the stories get molded around what people have been saying, you know. So now you get the, you know, the gray alien figure, you know, in the lexicon of, you know, of everyone's thought process now, so everyone jumps straight to it, and everybody knows about the gray, you know, and then,
right.
You know, you try to break that mold and talk about the light being or the human alien or the reptilian, there, you know, now you've got this reluctance against those types, you know, of any kind of, or the mantis or anything like that, you know, those species, I don't know, but I'm down with this, you know, everybody likes this, you know. It's like, you know, people are much more apt to have gray alien in their story than reptilian, you know, because that really blows their mind, and it's like, why would that blow your mind? That was the ruling population on our planet for billions of years, you know? Why is it so hard to figure that something could have evolved different, just even slightly, you know, something without hair? So.
Chip. Well, hey, Chip, it's been great. I gotta get ready to go to work, my friend.
Okay, man, no problem. Thanks for coming on, Raven. Like it.
Yep. All right, Chip. Have a great show.
You too, man. Thank you.
Bye.
See you. There we go. There's Raven from New Jersey sharing his paranormal experiences with the doors opening and recording an orb, basically, on video. And it's there 1 minute, and the next it's gone. And that's the kind of experiences that happen to a lot of people. And I'm kind of in the same boat, you know. It's not, they're never, you know, you're hardly ever going to run into the individual that has a lot of experiences to fill a book, you know, because they're not out there looking for these kind of things. You know, the normal person out there isn't out there doing the ghost hunts every week looking to fill, you know, 300, 400 pages worth of their experience. It's like when I've gone on other shows, like the Communication Room with Charles Stansberg and Donnie, we go out there. I go out there and I'm like, well, you know, I can fill my experiences in about 15, 20 minutes here. So, you know, I got to talk about other things for a while because it's just not, it's not a whole lot to go by, but it's enough to get the word out there to hopefully help other people come forward to talk about their experiences so they know that it's not all wacky. And they're not all frightening either. You know, you're not always going to have a whole lot of like, you know, demonic possession ones and all that kind of stuff. Sure, we've got the fundamental Christian point of view out there that, you know, all entities, alien and ghost, are, you know, demonic and all that. But, you know, it's not going to be like that. So it's good to actually get some people out there and some people on the network, and hopefully, you know, we can get a lot of people calling into other shows and stuff like that to come on and share their experiences. No experiences too small, and no stories too big to be on the show. You can definitely relate it, you know. But I guess we have another caller in the queue, so we'll take them. I know we're about 4 minutes before break, so let's see if we can get them introduced here before the break. Sorry, excuse me.
Hey, Chip, this is the cop.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. I guess Nicole's not fired. She can sleep.
Yeah. Snapping.
Anyway, ever since I've been coming in this room, so far I saw two UFOs, really? And one shadow being.
Okay.
Whoa. The shadow being I saw in my own house, that Chris George, I told him about it, and he told me all about it. It was sending me a message.
Okay.
The UFO, I've been doing an investigation trying to figure out different things. One, I ID'd it, what it was. It was an F-35, that new type of jet way up there that can turn around and do this. But the triangle shape, the UFO that I saw on March 25th, 2012, at 1:30 in the morning, You can go on and type it in, and you can look it up. The UFO sighting, South Jersey, at March 25th, 2012, and click on Woodstown, and it would pop up and show you the information on it. It happened right before they launched that missile going a northeast direction. If you remembered, NASA or somebody was going to launch a missile somewhere down Virginia or Carolinas or somewhere.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, that triangle shape showed up a day before or that morning at 1 o'clock in the morning that I saw it. So I was trying to investigate. This thing shows up and so big, it was, you know, dark, I couldn't see the whole, I saw the lights, but I couldn't see, you know, what shape it was, you know, what it looked like, because it was dark. And I had a small, slow, blinking red light in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And I watched it disappear. You know, so I'm trying to figure out, it showed up right before that launch, and it disappeared. So,
there's something. Did it really go to the ground?
It was 10,000 feet above the ground. Above
okay.
the, yeah. 10,000, that's 2 miles.
So
it wasn't a plane because I can see planes coming in there for Philadelphia Airport. And they were only up 2,000 feet coming in, you know, for a final approach. So I don't know what it was. The other thing that I could give you a little words of wisdom, and this is for everybody.
There you go.
Is when you approach a door going in for paranormal or anything, always go to the side of the door and open the door up. Never face the door forward.
Okay.
The reason for that is because you don't know what's standing on the other side of that door, okay? Once the door is open, don't go rushing in. Look between the back of the door and the jamb. And when you do that, you can tell if anybody's hiding behind the door. So a little words of wisdom there for safety. So anytime you approach a door, always stand to the side of the door. Either you're going to knock at the door or you're going to open the door to go in, especially when it's pitch black, because you don't know what's behind there. So that's a little words of wisdom for everybody. So that's my little experience.
Nice. That's good that you know you got the UFO stuff. How big was that? Was it a solid black triangle?
Yeah, it was. Well, the way I look at the angles, on both angles. In fact, I was talking to Joe about it. Or I mentioned it, Joe. You can land up maybe 2-3 aircraft carriers on both angles, and then the short angle, the bottom or the back of it, maybe 2. That's how big it was. It was a blink.
Yeah,
it was
good.
Hovering? Yeah, it was actually hovering 10,000 feet. So if you type it in there, South Jersey UFO sighting, March 25th, 2012, you'll see it.
On YouTube.
Yeah, you can go on YouTube or you can Google it and it'll come up. And a page will come up and say Woodstown. Just hit that one. Because there was over 18,000 people seeing it down there. I'm up here in the city of Camden, Pensacola area.
Yeah.
I'm not too far from Raven. He's only about a half hour from me.
Nice.
And you see, I seen it at 1:30 in the morning, and those people listed as 4:30 in the morning.
Huh.
Now, so that was a remarkable thing. But a year before that, I was at a train station down in Akko, the one where the train that takes you to Atlantic City for gambling, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm looking up in the crystal sky. I'm watching this thing go straight and turn around like a candy cane shape. It made a turn like that, reversed itself, went a little bit, did it again, stopped to fire 2 missiles out, and just kept on going. And it stopped over and anything. So I kept on looking at it, and then I did some research, and the only possible thing I'm coming up with is the F-35 or the F-22 jet, the new fighter jet, that if the pilot blacks out, the computer takes over, it can do everything. It can turn around like a candy cane, it can reverse itself, it can do anything. So that's my solution on that.
Nice.
But on this triangle, I have no idea what this is, what I saw.
So when you saw your shadow figure, I'm going to talk about that, because I saw one, I think I saw one here, shoot, it was a few months ago. It was when I was outside running in the summer, and it was like on the ground, though. It was like a literal shadow on the ground that I thought just, like, streaked across the street in, like, under a car, you know? And I was like, whoa, you know, what the hell was that? And I just kept, you know, I actually ran a little faster because it scared the hell out of me for a second. And I was like, did I seriously just see that, you know? And I just kept on going, and that was it. And I've never, and other than that, I haven't had any, like, Shadow Man-type experiences, but the last time I think I had any kind of contact or the possibility of is, well, recently we had a lot, the power go out here, right? And this is, honest to God, it was about 1:30, 2 in the morning, right? And the whole joint went out, right?
And
lights, like, flickered real, it was weird. I thought, okay, well, maybe the bulb went out, but we have the condensed bulbs, you know, so they don't go out like the old tube bulbs anymore, you know. It went out like a tube bulb, you know, and I was like, okay, well, and then I went to go flip another switch, and another light bulb did the same thing, you know, but this was a tube one, you know. It's like one of those big makeup clear white bulbs in the, you know, in the bathroom, you know, and those did the same thing the condensed one did. I was like, okay, this is messed up. And then all, you know, and then nothing, no lights, right? So I got scared, you know, at that point. Yeah, I shit myself. And I went straight to, you know, I actually went to, is this going to be, you know, is this going to be some sort of contact? You know, is this alien? And I was like, did I just flip and go straight to that? You know, from this, I see it. First of all, I got scared shitless and instantly thought it was going to be a contact that was going to happen. And I was like, whoa, 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 you know. And then, you know, once my heart rate slowed and, you know, I calmed down a little bit, I was like, no, because it wouldn't happen like this, you know. I'm like, they wouldn't, no, you know, they wouldn't let me remember even this part, you know, because it's never happened like this before, right? So I'm looking outside. And my first thought was, okay, did they just knock out the entire area because it's 2 in the morning and they know nobody's up and, you know, work crews wouldn't respond and they can get in and out and all that kind of stuff? And, yeah, so getting back to the gist of it, you know, after I calmed down and said, okay, well, that's obviously not what's going on, you know, but I really did just shit myself, you know, when the lights flickered like that. I went straight to, you know, this might be, you know, any kind of contact. But, God, I was like, I've never even had that thought cross my mind when lights go out before. You know, it was weird. But,
well, electrical, you can always have that power surge or what they call a backfeed. A backfeed is similar to a power surge, is where all the major current, it keeps them going around. Once you hit the switch, all of a sudden you got all this other stuff going the other way for some reason, and it blows out bulbs. You know, let's say you had a 60 watt bulb, and all of a sudden you have a lot of power out of the bulb. So everything happens for a reason. So if you put a tester on your wires and you keep on hitting it, it can actually tell you what you're pulling in, you know. Yeah. The switch has a switch leg and a hot. Always remember that.
Yeah, and we do kind of have circuit breaker problems here, you know, where it'll pop like halfway and stuff, and I got to go out there and flip it all the way and all the way on and off, and it knocks out our air conditioner more than anything. But, you know, there's no storm or anything like that. And so I'm laying in bed, though, and I'm looking, you know, I'm laying in bed because I'm like, okay, just go to sleep. And I was like, and I was still paranoid a little bit. I was like, do I have to get my damn gun out? You know, I was like, am I actually going to sleep with my gun right now, you know?
Well, I know how it is even with a weapon, because I lived down here in a war zone, because I was a cop in a war zone.
Yeah.
And I had two home invasions. And, oh, I got the guys. But when I seen that shadow person at my door inside the house, and I was upstairs looking at it from up in the hallway,
yeah,
I stared at it. I was on guard.
Uh-huh.
I stared at it for 5 minutes, and I'm ready to, I said, oh, damn, the safe. I can't get to it. What is it? As soon as I moved, it gone. You know? So, I'm always on guard, 24-7. You know?
It's a tight one, right?
Yeah. You know, so, dealing with that, you know, I says, and that's why I talked to Chris George about it, and that's when he told me that the shadow being in my house was giving me a message. You know, so I never did talk to him, you know.
Okay.
I was mostly on guard duty.
Yeah.
Ready for something, you know.
Hmm. Yeah. So you don't remember
it? Okay, well, I'll get over so you can take a break off your station here.
There you go. Yeah, I got to get a drink. I got it bad here.
Yeah, I figured that.
All right, Cobb, thanks for coming on. You know, it's always nice talking to you, and I love seeing you in the room all the time. You guys are really, you know, dedicated fans out there we got here at the radio network, and I'm glad for it because, you know, we got a lot of good original shows out here compared to a lot of other networks that just want to syndicate and rehash a lot of things. And like I said, you know, we had that guest float around to everybody, that Thomas P. Fusco, with his theories on how these things interact with our dimension, basically. And it just was, you know, one of the best ones I could think of in a real long time that I'd heard out of coming out of anybody, you know. So if anybody hasn't heard them, go ahead and check them out. Like I said, thanks for coming on, man.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're about 10 minutes past the hour here. It's 10:09. I'm going to go ahead and take a break so I can get a drink. Got a little cotton mouth going, doing all the talking here myself, but not all the talking to myself. Great calls with Cop and Raven coming in. Awesome, thank you guys. You guys are always in here. We got a lot of people that are always in here. Jules Gray, Cy Poet, Red Wolf, LS. You know, we got some good ones. Jim is always in here. We got some new ones in here too. It's always good to see. Keep coming back and check us out. Like I said, check out mindcemetery.com's upcoming show calendar so you can see everything that's on there. And I finally did figure out, I asked Bob Curran to come on October 22nd, and he does a lot of H.P. Lovecraft, Aleister Crowley, occult type stuff, and we're talking a lot. We're talking like 40, so that's why I'm really jazzed to have him on. I'll have, you know, Bob Curran and Phil Coppins on in October, and it, you know, we're really cranking it up here before the end of the year. I want to get some of the really good people that I wanted to have on in a long time and get them out here and try to hope for Jim Mars. So it's 10:10. We're going to take at least 10 minutes here, and we'll go ahead and get on out of here. Take us away, Joe.
Hi, everybody. This is Erica Getch, and I want to invite you to my new radio show called The Galactic Connection. It's going to be on Friday nights on the network that's called the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, and it's going to be about 8 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Central, and 11 o'clock Eastern Time. And you can find out all the scheduling and all the information on how to contact me, as well as be a guest on the show and listen to the archives and everything, on thegalacticconnection.com. One thing I want to mention real quick is, before the show, you have to, if you want to listen to a live show, you have to get the PalTalk Messenger, and it's really quick to download, and all the information's on the website on how to do it. And you basically go in, and you can choose two options. One that gives you free software with it, and if you don't want that, just look below it, and you'll have the option just to get the Messenger. Once you get the Messenger and set up everything, and it's a really quick setup, you find the room, and it says how to do that on the website. Find the room and add to favorites, and you never have to look for it again. And every time that you want to listen to any of the network shows, you just open up your PalTalk Messenger, and you click on the room, and every show's there all day long. It's really fun at a live show, so don't miss out, please. And I hope to really see you there. And if you'd like to contact me, get a hold of me at thegalacticconnection@hotmail.com or Erica Getch. And thanks for listening, and talk to you later. Bye.
Radio show that isn't afraid to push the limits. Well, if we do, we haven't found them yet.
Chris is the godfather of psychic mediums, and he'll give you a reading you can't refuse.
You better believe it. And Stephanie is the co-hostess with the mostest.
Relax there, Chris.
Yeah, okay. Second Sight NYC is the show that even the spirits listen to.
How can you make such a claim?
Well, the spirits told me. Give us 2 hours to open your minds to the possibilities of what could be.
This show is all about what is seen and unseen, known and unknown, and everything in between.
Each week, we make the unbelievable believable.
Join us.
Hi, this is Rob Simone, and I want to tell you about my brand new show here on the Paranormal Radio Network. Each week, I bring you the most interesting people on the planet, the most in-depth discussions, and the most controversial issues. We go where no talk show dares to go. Join me every week for the Rob Simone Talk Show here on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
From 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, as we delve into UFOs, abduction, ghosts, aliens, conspiracy, cryptozoology.
And don't forget those creepy topics you will hear in your local news.
That's the Mayan Cemetery, and we're preparing to write about the paranormal comes to rest.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
Are you a fan of the unknown?
Do you constantly watch the sky, wondering if there's something out there?
In fear of things going to bump?
Ghosts, UFOs, cryptozoology, and conspiracy theories from the unknown.
So check out Whispers Radio every Tuesday night, 6:50 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Central, and give us a call, 1-866-514-6300.
I'm Stephanie Benetti, and along with Joe Montaldo, we co-host a new show on the Flip Side. You can catch us every Saturday night, 8 p.m. Saturday. We will be discussing current events and topics going on in the world today. We have opinions on everything. There's no topic that we won't discuss, and we'll go places that other shows wouldn't dare. False history gets made all day, every day. The truth of the new is never on the news, but you can catch it here, News on the Flip Side, only on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
My name is James O'Connell, and I'm the founder of the Experiencers Alien Encounter Research Team. And yes, my extraterrestrial visitors told me to seek out others like myself and then look within. So we know they've left clues for us to unlock. Each experiencer may have a piece of this cosmic puzzle hidden in their subconscious memories, and this information is leading us on a scavenger hunt for the answers to this extraterrestrial phenomenon. Come along with us as we examine the lives of ordinary people that are involved in extreme circumstances. Expect to experience the mystical, magical, and miraculous. Because where our team goes, alien encounters follow. This amazing journey begins with us because we are the Experiencers Alien Encounter Research Team from the John Mack Institute.
Hello everyone, Trish Sheridan, host of A Global Focus. Come join us each Friday evening at A Global Focus's new time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Come join the discussion.
Hey, hi there. Got your attention? I'm Gia Scott, and I was curious what you were doing from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time on Tuesdays. See, I host this really interesting little radio program that airs live then, and we bring in all sorts of guests. Authors, experiencers, and everything in between. It's paranormal and guaranteed to make you go, My guest list is always up at www.giascott.com, and do tune in to the Dawn of Shades from 7 to 9 p.m. on Tuesdays.
Hi, everyone.
I'm psychic medium Christopher, and I have a new show that will air the first Friday of every month from 11 to midnight Eastern Standard Time. The show is called Insight with psychic medium Christopher George. It's all about psychic readings. I welcome my listeners to call in for a free reading. Just remember, don't ask me a question that you really don't want the answer to. I'll give it to you the way the spirits give it to me. Straightforward and real. The first Friday of every month. Insight, 11 to midnight.
Tune in to UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Light up your night with the Kevin Smith Show. Hi, this is Kevin Smith. Join me Monday through Friday right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
System and alien sorcerer approaching from the sky. Radio contact has been attempted but cannot be established. Instructions are to prepare for an attack by an unknown enemy.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Mind Cemetery with your host Chip and Nicole. It is 504-273-7379. You can ask our guests any of your questions or give us feedback. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and visit our website, mindcemetery.com, for shows, news, and blogs.
Hello, and I couldn't tell when it when Nicole was done talking. I don't think, I don't know, could everyone else understand what the hell was going on there for a second? But anyway, so we're going to finish up here, 35 minutes we got left, somewhere in that ballpark? Yes. So, yes, it's a little confusing sometimes, Martin, when we come back in. Who am I and what the hell am I doing here? You know? Just say that to yourself a few times and everything will be fine. So anywho, I'm sitting here perusing things on the interweb as usual. What was I going to say? Yeah, call in and help the confusion out a little bit. Let's see, if you have any stories out there of paranormal or UFO sightings, experiences, and what have you, or maybe even conspiracies, I did touch on that. You know, there are a lot of things going on out there in the world, and don't forget, our old friend, December 21st, 2012, is looming around the corner, and to be honest with you, things have gotten quiet, haven't they? No one's beating that drum hard, and it's September. I kind of would, you know? Then again, I haven't been to a gun show lately, so who knows? I don't know what it looks like in those places. I haven't seen the prices yet or anything like that, but they weren't looking like they were going up themselves for ammunition. But, you know, the weapons themselves, of course. Yeah, I figured after it was all done, I figured they'd gone up big time. I figured once it was all done and come January and if we were still alive, I was going to trade in my AK for an AR-15 and get it over with and do what all the other cool kids are doing. But I like my AK. It's really nice. I decked it out pretty good. You know, I got the pistol grip, you know, I got the ergonomic grip and the collapsible stock and the single point sling and the foregrip and all that, you know, and the hologram sight, all that good stuff on there. And, Yeah, nice, cop. You got a real deal with them. You know, I got to sit there and play Bumpfire Fest all day. I can't. They won't let us down here have automatic. The sheriff here in Wake County won't sign off on anybody having one automatic, which is ridiculous. And my main point for getting the AK was, you know, hey, I can shoot through walls with this thing. You know, if there's a brick wall, I'll just shoot through the wall. Get it? I don't care. Just blow some ammo through the wall and call it a day. So, you know, and I'm a big fan of the 75-round drums and all that stuff. I'm not that smart, cop. I don't know how to do those things with it. I'll have to look on YouTube and see if there's anything like that. But, yeah, that's mainly why I got the AK. Reliability, and it can go through a wall if I need to. Brick wall, that is. And then I ended up seeing some video where, you know, I'm watching, you know, let the 223, the 556 go right through brick two, and I was like, son of a bitch, you know. I was like, what the hell was I doing? Plus, the AK, when you're shooting, it's really out of control. The kick on it's insane. The 7.62 bullet's much bigger. You're all over the place. Like, if you ever watch that in slow motion, high-speed camera type works, it's, you know, just all over, you know, you're everywhere. but I guess that wasn't the, you know, that's not the mentality of the Red Army. The mentality of is, put a lot of lead that way and we win, you know, and away we go, see ya, you know. Can't blame them for that, right? Yeah, spray and pay. There you go. Oh, yeah. So, anyway, so I'm perusing the internet for stories, right? And I get some things popping up every once in a while here, and then, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, oh, there was, let me see if I can find something on the UFO, in Vegas they've got a, what's it called? The atomic history type thing that they've got going on there. And atomic history type thing. He says there's a museum out there that talks about nuclear history. And let's see if he's got a link up there. No. George Knapp talked about it for parts of it last night, and I'm going to see if I can dig up and talk at the same time, which usually proves to be quite a mighty feat because I can barely chew double gum and walk at the same time, let alone come out with a coherent thought. But we'll see what we can do. If I can't, you know, burp into the microphone a few dozen more times for quality radio. But while I'm looking up this website or information for this website to see who exactly was talking there, I think my favorite dipshit was there, Nick Pope. My latest favorite punching bag was there. Talking about his MOD experiences, of course, selling what he can while he can until he's absolutely marginalized himself, which, you know, he already has, but for some reason he keeps getting invited back to talk about the same old. But, this is at the, Nuclear Museum, Atomic Testing Museum. Here we go. Let's see if they've got any information on what the heck was going on this last weekend. But they had, like, a UFO the Area 51 lecture series with George Knapp and Alexander. Ugh, I hate John Alexander with a passion. That rambling, stambling old man sits there and wants you to believe that everything's out in the public and there are no secrets. Yeah, right, Johnny boy. Why don't you go lay down? You know, give me a break. I ain't fooling anybody. That's for sure. Let's see. Let's look under events, see what the hell we got going on here. No. Let's see. Was a pretty big deal, so I'm trying to figure out, what the heck's going on? But anyway, well, we're, here we go, Huffington Post. Lee Spiegel will have something on it, right? There we go. Anyway, if you have any stories of paranormal UFO experiences, give me a call. call in to the show tonight. We already had two great callers, two great listeners that are always here, Cop and Raven. Come on and share with us their experiences. That phone number is 504-273-7379. Joel, let me know if we got somebody in the queue, and let us keep rolling. We'll have you on just like they were on, and hopefully you won't get scared. They certainly weren't, and neither should you be. Get your story out there. No story is too small or big to be on the show. Everybody's experiences are going to be a little bit different, and I like to hear other people's takes on what they think just happened, you know, because just like with witnesses to crimes and accidents, you 10 different stories from 10 different people, you know, and you're going to get some of the basics on the same page, but everybody's going to have their own little tweaks and their own view of what the heck just happened. So 504-273-7379, and that'll get us live and on the air, unedited. So, what I found about what went on, and I figured out that I'm misspelling I'm mispronouncing her name. It's like Ghosh or something like that. I'm busy pronouncing E's and T's and all this stupidness in her thing. So, Galactic Connection, she's on before Therese Sheridan on Friday nights. Check it out, Friday nights lineup's looking tough. Tonight's, Monday nights, we're still slugging it out with Jerry, I believe, right? Jerry Pippin on Inception, and I think just for the first hour. After that, everybody comes running over here. But I like Jerry, so, I mean, it's not like I'm out to crush the guy or anything stupid like that. That's just retarded. You know, I like picking my fights with rectums, basically. I like going after fellow rectums, not guys that are all right, you know, not nice guys. You know, it's no fun in that. You know, I'd rather go after complete rectums in the field. Self-important ones more than anything. Those are always a good time. Let's see. I don't know if I can get what's going on there. Okay. Jerry's only got 5 listeners. All right, well, I've got like 7, so I guess I'm winning. I win, you know, in the world of radio and podcasts of non-existent rivalries. Right? I'm beating myself, as usual. No. So the Atomic Testing Museum had a bunch of speakers on the Area 51 lecture series, Military UFOs Secrets Revealed. And George Knapp talked about this last night on Coast to Coast when he has his Sunday night show. And, you know, to be honest with you, I'm kind of liking George Knapp less and less because he's kind of a jerk to people, you know. So, yeah, he's kind of an asshole to people. You know, he cuts them off, he gets on with, you know, whatever he wants to say, and he's like, hurry it up, would you, you know? And it's like, God damn, sorry, man. Sorry for coming on your show and trying to, you know, be a guest. But, you know, he's big time, and he's done everything with Robert Bigelow and Skinwalker Ranch and all that kind of garbage. So, you know, he's probably thinking he's too big to be nice to people now. But we'll get back to that because we have a caller in queue right now. And caller, go ahead. How are you?
Hey, Chip, this is Cop again.
Hey, fantastic.
Yeah, listen, I forgot to tell you another story, but this time it happened to my father.
Okay.
He was the biggest builder in New Jersey. He was a big general contractor, and he was doing a house up in North Camden back in the 60s. Him and 3 guys went to this house, took the boards off the window to go in to estimate the job. In the house, there was a stair to take you upstairs and through a hallway. So they're all down in the living room, and they're all near the steps. So they're trying to get light, more light in. They're taking everything off the windows. All of a sudden, one of the workers had to look at the steps, and here comes a woman down the steps. And they're all looking at her, like, where did you come from? She comes all the way down, looks at the men, looks at my dad, turns around, goes back up the steps and through the wall. And everybody looked at each other. So they grab the sledgehammer, go upstairs, and directly, when you get upstairs, you're going to hit a wall.
Yeah.
So some of the men went to the right to the next bedroom, and some went to the left. They went into the rooms, and nothing was there. So one of the guys decided, well, I'm breaking this wall down. They did more destruction to the house, and it cost more for estimated damage. So my father never talked about it. So one day, I was over at my uncle's house. He was with my father, and he brought it up. So he told the story to me. He says, I'm not going to say a word. You go right over to your father and ask him about it. So I went over there and I asked him. He just looked at me. He said the same exact words that my uncle said. And they never forgot it, but they don't talk about it because people think that you're goofy.
Oh, yeah. Did they say, you know, what it looked like what form it took? Because I know
it was a woman, a whole complete figure of a woman coming down the steps, dressed in regular clothes, like maybe in the 40s or, you know, 30s.
Okay.
Like
fully functioning, legs moving like normal, floating kind of thing that you see on
TV. No, just not floating, what you see, just walking step by step slow down the stairs.
Yep.
It stopped about 3 steps from the bottom, looked at everybody, turned around, and slowly walked back up the steps and through the wall. Just like that.
That's awesome, because that's almost exactly like mine when I was a kid coming down the halls. Like I said, it was a full body, legs and everything, you know, just walking like it would be walking. It's just the color was off, you know. It was just a weird, pale blue-gray
like
kind
of color. Like a pale gray, right?
Yeah. That's awesome that it's something just like what I saw. You know, it's really cool. And it beats the, like, Hollywood TV stereotypes of it floating and being wispy and all this kind of stuff. You know, it's just not like that, you know?
Right.
And that's what people don't understand. They expect to see the TV ghost, you know? A sheet over them type thing with no real form. No, they have forms, you know. They take the form that they were, you know, or that they want to take. So, that's
they
awesome.
They never talked about it ever since then. And so one day I brought it up to my uncle. Somehow we were talking about Halloween around the kids and all. That's how it was brought up. And then after he told me the story, I went right over and asked my father, and he didn't say nothing for first. And then he finally came out and said, word for word, of what my uncle said. And I know my uncle didn't call my dad up and say, hey, your son's on the way over, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool.
All right, well, I'll get off the phone and let somebody else call.
All right, man. Well, thanks for calling back in. You're welcome anytime, man.
Okay. Later.
Thank you. Later. See, there you go, folks. You can even call in twice if you want to. It's not a problem, you know. And that's another great story. And, you know, like I said, I like that it's the exact same vein that my sighting was in. You know, my encounter with an actual full-body apparition. And, yeah, it's not always going to be a wispy, misty, ghosty TV-looking one. You know, it's not a Scooby-Doo ghost with a sheet on, you know. And it's not going to be making noise at you either. They're silent. They're not going to say anything, you know. So, you know, for all we know, it's all they can do just to make themselves appear like that for as long as they can, you know. Who knows? Like I said, you got to look up Thomas P. Fusco and his theories on that, because I really liked his explanations of how that stuff happened, or how they make themselves appear. But back with with the museum, the National Atomic Testing Museum in Las Vegas there. They had on the 22nd, they had 5 individuals come on there, come out and speak for $35, non-members, $20 for members. So if you're in-town partying that weekend in Vegas, which I'm sure some of these individuals were, you know, I know John Alexander lives in Vegas, so he's right there. And so they had a guy. Keep in mind, when I'm done reading their names, I'm going to tell you what they all have in common. Okay, well, four of the five have in common. We got Colonel Robert Friend, who used to work at, he was a director for Project Blue Book, right? We got Colonel Charles Holt, who you know from Bentwander's fame, from the events out there, and our buddy Sasha does a lot of good work with that, and Larry Warren and Peter Robbins are busy fighting the idiotic powers of Jim Penniston and John Burroughs, I think it is. Yeah. Yeah, those two tards that want to rewrite history in binary speak and tell you what really happened and try to discredit everybody else because, you know, they're a couple pompous asses and they always have been, evidently. And then you have Colonel John Alexander, who just is a regular, you know, regular disclosure already happened kind of guy, so what the hell are we doing here? But for some reason he keeps showing up to say that and sell his books, so, you know, not a fan of him. And then you have Colonel Bill Coleman, Chief Public Affairs Officer for the U.S. Air Force. And then, last but certainly least, Nick Pope, we have the U.K. Minister of Defense UFO Investigator. So, I hear people aren't big fans of Charles Holt and the Bentwater story and what goes on there. I can't really speak on that because, I'm in a spot now with, I've heard so many stories of contact and everything like that, that basically, if I haven't interviewed you, and I've kind of blocked out a lot of stuff on TV, too. I just won't watch TV shows anymore. Like, if I haven't, like, interviewed you or anything like that, then it's pretty much out of my brain because I've got so much coming in and out that I forget details about things. I'm not ever going to be this individual that's going to devote my entire spare time to reading up on all this shenanigans, you know, and what everybody said on this date and then and when they changed it and all that kind of garbage. I don't care. You know, I don't care until it gets, you know, too, so blatantly, obviously ridiculous. And then, of course, I won't be able to hold my tongue. So I'm not sure what Charles Holt has going on with his side of the story versus Larry Warren's and Peter Robbins, or well, Larry's basically, and Penniston and Burroughs, and those four seem to, you know, go at it. Jim and John are really a couple of agitators there, and I'm not even sure where they stand with Charles. Who knows, you know. So, John Alexander, like I said, we know where he stands. I'm totally, have no time for you whatsoever. I thoroughly enjoyed his debate with Richard Dolan, and Dolan mopped the floor with his butt. So, I don't understand how after that interview he still gets any kind of play or attention anywhere, to be honest with you. I really don't get it. Richard Dolan just took him to the mat and kept him there. Bill Coleman, I don't know him from Adam, so who knows who the heck he is. You all know what I think of Nick Pope and his shenanigans, and I don't know why he crawled out of the woodwork for this one. But, you know, anything for attention over there, huh, Nicky boy? The last one, Robert Friend, actually, this whole lecture series was something, you know, it's touted as secrets revealed. And George Knapp said, well, I didn't really hear any secrets or anything like that. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's George being George. You know, he thinks he knows everything, you know. And who knows, he might know a lot of stuff because he's all up in the Robert Bigelow Skinwalker Ranch story. So he would be privy to a lot of information, especially stuff that was gained through MUFON when Robert Bigelow was busy siphoning money to them through John Schussler and, you know, that whole debacle with them and James Cameron entering in that deal with Bass Aeronautics. And it's just a real nasty deal there, how he worked himself inside there, and nobody will come out and say anything for sure, but you can put the pieces together and you can talk to people like Chase Klotsky and I forget her name, but I was supposed to get up with her. Elaine Douglas, you know, and you can hear what went on with a lot of their directors behind the scenes and how, you know, the board was pushing out people and the star teams were kind of a farce in some aspects because there was a super secret star team and, you know, who knows, you know, what the hell was going on there. But, you know, they're working on their third director in just as many years, it seems like. So, you know, the cards are shuffling and, you know, they're going to keep moving like that. So So that happened this week, and we got a little bit of a synopsis from our buddy George Knapp the other night. And also, we had a little bit of an anniversary today that I don't think anybody really understands. LS, that's what's killing me too right now is my absolute fear of what happens to my free time when kid number two comes around. premium me time, me time's at a premium, let's put it that way, and I love me some me, as Terrell Owens used to say when he was playing for the 49ers, so... to bring everybody to my mother-in-law so I can live here. No, I'm just kidding. So this is the this year is the anniversary of the formation of MJ-12 that President Truman authorized, Operation Majestic 12, in 1947 on this date. The letter that came out that stated that. That was found, this memo for the Secretary of Defense from September 24th, 1947, and I will read it off to you real quick. It's real small print, so we'll see what we can do. Dear Secretary Forrestal, as per our recent conversation on this matter, you are hereby authorized to proceed with all due speed and caution upon your undertaking. Whereafter, this matter shall be referred to only as Operation Majestic 12. It continues to be my feeling that any future considerations relative to the ultimate disposition of this matter should rest solely with the office of the President, following appropriate discussions with yourself, Dr. Bush, and the Director of the Central Intelligence. Who was the Director of Central Intelligence right then? I think it was J. Edgar Hoover at that time. Yeah, and J. Edgar Hoover had a lot of secret files nobody knew about that got cooked after he died. So... sign on the bottom, Harry S. Truman. So there it is. That's the memorandum that started it all. That's the memorandum that gave guys like Stanton Freeman the trail of crumbs, so to speak, to get out there and investigate these kind of things. So some people say this document's all BS. Who knows? We'll see. This is the document that was dug up to start it all. So this day back in 1947, what was that? 79. 2 months after Roswell? Yeah, they formed this? Draw your own conclusions, right? See what spurned that, right? It won't be hard to figure out. So, let's see. What else did we have to find out there? Lloyd Auerbach, out there, a famed paranormal researcher from Francisco, is now offering mentoring classes for paranormal investigators and ghost hunters. So I found this was interesting to me, rather interesting. And this was on Facebook that he posted this, and he posted it on the Inspire Facebook page, and that's the organization that sponsors the Carolina Hauntings, Apparitions, and Poltergeist Society. And I know a lot of those individuals, and a lot of individuals in general, hold Lloyd Auerbach in high esteem for a lot of things that he does in the paranormal community. But, and I kind of understand the whole mentoring thing and him kind of passing it down, his knowledge down to individuals, but it just kind of feels dirty to me. And I'll read the memo that he posted up here. Paranormal mentoring program. Lloyd Auerbach will be offering mentoring for individuals and groups/teams of investigators and ghost hunters beginning September 2012. Well, it's almost done this month, but... Oh, this is out in August. He did that. So I don't know if he got any bites, but I just now saw this thing posted floating around again. Maybe I just missed it the first time around, huh? Yeah, that's definitely probably true. Rather than forms, as this mentoring will take the form of a program or one-time sessions allowing folks who go on ghost hunts or investigate paranormal activity in haunted locations to discuss their methodologies, equipment, and evidence with a parapsychologist who has over 30 years field experience and who has been teaching parapsychology for nearly as long in both graduate school and for non-academic audiences. In addition, he has additional insight into some of the background and knowledge in laboratory studies of ESP, PK, and mediumship, as well as studies of near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, and paranormal beliefs. I guess this is where people go that actually were around back in the day that actually got a parapsychology degree. You know, you get to get out there and put it to work in these kind of fields because you're one of the few individuals that are qualified, I guess, for lack of a better word, you know. So instead of just printing out a certificate on your printer at home and running with it, let's see. He will also be providing support for individuals who may be psychically sensitive, quote-unquote, with little experience on as a working psychic or medium, and for groups, teams working with those who are sensitive to the paranormal. So, okay. See, that's... you know, he talks about his connection to various field researchers and experimental parapsychologists, you know, that he can get you in touch with and stuff like that. So I don't know if, like, you're really buying the connections or what here when you're, you know, purchasing his services, because that's basically what it comes down to, is that, you know, contact him and you'll get reaching by email and Professor or Prof Paranormal at gmail.com, his Facebook page, Lloyd Auerbach, and Office of Paranormal Investigations, leave a message, all that kind of stuff. You know, I don't know what you're paying for, really, and I don't know what he has to contribute to a psychic who is sensitive, or at least on some level or low level, or slowly figuring out that he is psychic himself or yourself, you know, because all of us. Well, I don't want to say all of us, but, you know, majority of us have these funny feelings sometimes about things, and they roll with them, so, you know, maybe he helps you interpret those, I don't know. So, like I said, it just feels a little dirty coming out of Lloyd that he's, you know, it makes me feel yucky when he touches me in spots, but, no, he doesn't touch people in spots, okay? He's not like that, I just say that, but, yeah, you know, here we go. Here's that line, you know, it's okay to charge for his services to educate you on things, but it's not okay to charge individuals to investigate their paranormal activity in their home. I don't know. I don't know if anybody else sees the conundrum there, or if they think that's conflicting at all, but I kind of think it is, a little bit. Who knows? My opinion, though, you know, and screw me. I guess I obviously don't mean jack to anybody. So, let's see, who else do we have? Let's see, yeah, Lee Spiegel on Huffington Post has a follow-up to Charles Holt and what he was saying at that conference there, you know, so you can read that article on and see what they all had to say. I wasn't able to read that and paraphrase it for anybody. But we only have like 6 minutes left here. I want to touch on Linda Moulton Howe is out here at her Earth Files site railing against how this Gale Crater aerial image was touched up and everything. So I don't know which tree she'd barking up. Like I said, the Linda Moulton Howe, you know, when I found out what she did to get access to Roswell individuals and going through Bill and Nancy Burns and all that, it really, you know, a long time ago I kind of figured out, you know, I was like, well, what does Paul Kimball have her on the Hall of Shame list, and I was like, you know, I never got around to asking him because I'm sure he doesn't really care for us anymore, and that's fine, you know. You don't have to love us all the time, or even any of the time, you know. I'm sure I'll say and do things that'll piss you off as a listener, and you'll say, I'm never coming back here, and then, you know, in a couple weeks you'll come back, and well, it's forgiven, right? So, but anyway, I wondered why he had her up on his Hall of Shame, and I kind of get it now, is that basically she just used Bill and Nancy Burns to get at an individual and get access to a person, and then once she got it, you know, acted like she didn't know him anymore type thing. So, you know, just dirty pool, basically. And for her own good and whatever that is, right? And she always likes to tout a lot of things, and that she's a... You know, this is what really upsets me about Coast to Coast, is that they're in bed with people like her and Richard C. Hoagland. You know, they have them on constantly, you know, a science advisor, and, you know, I don't know what the hell Linda Moulton Howe's shenanigan title is there, but investigative reporter, I guess, or whatever. Okay, you know, that's what she does. But, yeah, she's up there claiming that some photos are being doctored, and now when I think about who Coast to Coast has on there and touts as their investigative reporters, makes me think, well, maybe she's doing a little something to help out her boy, Tricky Dick Hoagland there. So, you know, with his arguments that NASA doctors photos, and there's no doubt that they doctor them, but it's the conclusions from the doctoring that I have issues with, you know, so who knows, you know, things may have been doctors, things might have been doctored, but, you know, to jump completely to, you know, underground people living on Mars and ancient life there and all that kind of stuff. Well, we'll see. You know, that's not hard. They could, NASA could easily go to these places to debunk these individuals, but I don't know if they think it's worth it, you know, to debunk these two or three loud individuals out here that claim that they're hiding something on Mars. Who knows? One more thing I wanted to get to today. Go to our website, mindcemetery.com. Check out the show calendar for October and November. We're moving and shaking and filling things in here. And it's about that time to get some new guests on here and get some people rolling. So check that out. Like us on Facebook. Mind Cemetery is our fan or our show page. Don't jump online and like me or try to friend me. I just don't do that. Just like the show page, and like I said, I'm not out there flooding you with a bunch of useless information and resending things. And oh yeah, we Twitter account, Mind Cemetery. Again, I don't flood you with a bunch of stupid tweets. I usually just send out something the day of the show saying who's on and what's going on. You know, and maybe one tweet a day or something like that. I don't get stupid with it. No sense in spamming and killing your people and beating them over the head with useless information, right? It's unnecessary. Let some other people do that that need the attention, I guess, for whatever reason. So, let's see. The last thing I wanted to mention was something that I saw on our old friends, and I say that facetiously because I think they're both rectums, over at Paratopia. They took a shot at Karis. And that's, you know, I'm not going to dig that. I don't care what you say about her. You can not believe her all you want. But it came through in this, in a thread about hybrid children that Jeremy posted. You know, one of their classic, hey, look at this dope. You know, they're full of crap and I know it because blah, blah, blah. You know, so, you know, they pulled their usual I know more than you type stuff, and Colin Reed posted something about Karis talking about mermaids and all that kind of stuff and really jumping on her back for that. Jumping on her back for dolphins and sea fairies and angels and aliens and all that kind of stuff. And so they started commenting about Karis and how she looks, and of course Fanny said, no, I like her. If she'd take that shit off her forehead, I think it could be love. And then Ritzman, she's hot. What was she saying? Something about an iPhone, Fanny says. And then Colin Reed, oh, you can totally see her third eye because she's got a gem or something on her forehead. That's cool. You know, go ahead. You know, be the shining white knight to Emma Reed, or Emma, whoever the hell she was. I can't even remember. Her whole story, but when it comes to another female, you know, just go ahead and objectify them, you know. You know, oh, whoops, I didn't hear what you were saying because you're so hot. You know, but, you know, whatever. It really pisses me off that they pull that kind of junk with them, and these are, you know, some individuals that really like to think they're better than most other people out here doing stuff. So right about the time you drop that act that you're better, fellas, right about the time I quit riding your asses, you know, when you come out of the woodwork and say stuff like that, and you can not agree with someone, that's fine, and, you know, all that, but like I said, don't play white knight to one female and then over here objectify this one. Okay, come on. Stay consistent, fellas. Okay? You always do, and you never disappoint. And I'm sure I don't disappoint you either. So, have a nice one, you know. I know you don't do your show anymore, and that's a real shame to the whole community and the world as a whole. We're really missing out on stuff. So, yeah, it's about that time to go. And them and their 100 listener cult following, yeah, good luck with that, boys. And I really enjoy your comedy work that you do over there, which basically is everything you do, pure comedy. So I guess that's it for tonight. They're running me off. I'm a minute over here, and I don't know. Stay classy, Raleigh. We'll see you next week. Next week, I've got it wide open again, so I'm going to try to book someone in there. I'm actually going to get Bridget to come on, the person that they were attempting to blast for her hybrid story, because I know they were railing against star seeds and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, thanks to Cop and Raven stepping up twice. Cop, Raven, thanks for coming on. I know you're out there at work now, so that's going to be the mantra here for not only our show but every show out here. Call in, you know. Call into your show that you like and join the conversation. Ask the guests some questions and ask the host some questions, you know, and share your experiences. Get out there and spread the word about the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. And thanks everybody in the chat room for joining us as usual. You're a dedicated group, that's for sure, and it seems like every week we get a lot of new faces coming in there, and that's fine. And like I said, if you don't like what I hear next week, well, or you hear this week, then come in next week, maybe you'll see something, you'll hear something. You can't see nothing on radio, moron, right? So, see you next week, and check the website, mindcemetery.com. Like us on Facebook, Mind Cemetery. Follow us on Twitter, Mind Cemetery. It's real simple. Just Google Mind Cemetery, and that's us. Have a good night, everybody. See you next week.